Sunday morning,
May 29th.
We already prayed for the service, but there's nothing wrong with praying a second time, is there?
I felt it on my heart all weekend.
Yes.
It's been an ongoing prayer. Because there are too many of the men that have come back and have suffered through their lives.
Yes. Yeah, that really is so common.
What they've seen or what they had to do or...
Oh, in the service?
In the service, yeah. Because I know too many, you know, too many guys that have suffered with it.
I mean, my brother came back from Vietnam and it wasn't until, how old is he now? 76? And it wasn't until about maybe 5 years ago he joined a vet group, which he's like, I wish I would have done this a long time ago, but he just didn't want to, he just wasn't good to talk about it. He was fine, you know, but he probably wasn't fine, but he was fine.
He dealt with it.
Yeah. But,
A lid on
it. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. You know, that was always difficult. Yeah. Yeah. And so you think about what are the people over in Ukraine, and these are just people who are not in the service. You know, I mean, they're not, they weren't trained as combat or anything, you know.
Terrible things to those civilians.
Yeah, all of a sudden, their homes and life serving, and you know, I just...
Everything's being taken from them.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't...
Dignity in there.
Imagine, yeah.
It's not right, Satan.
Yeah, just kidding.
We need bravery.
Yeah, we should pray for, I mean, there's some,
So, Lord, we ask, O Lord, first of all, that your blessings would be on our service here today, that your spirit would flow, that your what you would have for us to do, you guide us. You guide us, O Lord, as to what maybe we should be praying for, or which of your truths would be ones that should be brought today. We ask for that guidance. And Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that we would again have ears to hear what it is that you would have us to know. That we would, and it wouldn't just go through our ears, that we would, our spirit would be changed, whatever. By what you have for your children today, by your spirit. Thank you. Amen. Hayden had an update on Pablo. I don't know if you'd heard. Things are stable with him, but he's in intensive care. Is that...
He's tired.
Just said that he's stable and he's okay. He's just tired.
He's tired and he's anxious that... He doesn't want anything
to
And they've got him in intensive care?
I'm not sure. I wasn't told.
Yeah, my mom texted me and he said he was stable.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm.
I remembered my hearing aids today, but the batteries are dead. So.
That's what I can
tell. Huh? No one sure can. Right?
What?
What?
There's something you can do for your memory like that, right?
Yeah.
Not a memory.
Yeah, right. Plug in those batteries. Good to see Carter and Sophie here today.
Yes.
With them chipper.
And the other kids, too. I realize we got a nice lot of kids in this church. I like that. I like that.
Seven.
Yeah, it is.
You got seven.
That's good.
It's not bad for a bunch of animals I wrangled up in the yard.
That's brave laying loose.
You chose
it
well.
Wrangles the right word.
Yeah. I'd say the average age for our church is... about 30 years old, but the two ends are really well represented.
Not a little plastic there, right?
No, that's right. Yeah, it's not a real big bell there.
Can I make a request? Can I, Keith, do you know any scripture that talks about cowardice? Because I've noticed that is it's been bothering me lately. I've been lecturing. I've noticed it's very prevalent in our society. People are afraid to speak truth because I just read a comment today. I was afraid to speak the truth because I have a lot to lose. And I'm like, then I already thought, I'm like, you deserve to lose. You don't deserve what you have then. Because I remember when the rich man said, I've heard of you. What can I do? I want to be. He said, give all your things away and come with me. The Uvalde thing that we were talking about earlier, I couldn't believe what I heard, because I don't know if I was in a uniform. If they told me to stand down and I heard gunshots, I'm not listening. I'm sorry. Is there anything? People are too, we're controlled by fear today. Like, I've noticed people are too afraid to stand up and do what's right because they care more about their reputation than their character.
It's a terrible condition.
Yeah, and I've noticed it's affecting the majority of the people.
Oh, yeah.
I think you more hit the nail on the head by saying fear rather than being cowardly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the case of the rich young ruler, I mean, he's like, but I've given so much, and he had done tons of stuff. And then the only request was, well, sell everything else, and you know, you're going to have a great life. And I think that thought for him was, I can't do that, and he had to turn away. And there was a fear of losing everything. I mean, look at everything I have, and, you know,
how do I live without it?
Yeah, and how do I know that I'm going to be fed? How do I know I'm, you know, I've got other people that rely on me. What am I going to do? And, you know, that fear comes in, you know. And fear is a great, I don't know the word, catalyst.
It's here.
Yes.
Yes. Can, you know, I mean.
I searched and found 26 scriptures that mention coward or cowardly. And it's split pretty much evenly between Old Testament, New Testament. But Mark 4:40, maybe is your sentiment where it says, do you still have no faith? He asked them. Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith yet? There's 2 Timothy 1:7. Fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. God's Spirit doesn't make cowards of us, out of us. The Spirit gives us power, love, and self-control. Again, cowardly and people of little faith. Matthew 8:26. And there are several references. John 14. Don't give you the kind of peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or cowardly. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I guess my point is
it's just, I remember growing up, 1997, I know it's a little, but I remember watching police officers run towards armed men at the Bank of America in North Hollywood. Not a single one of them retreated. They kept moving forward, knowing that their weapons were useless against them. They were just bouncing off of them, and they were getting shot down. They were getting, and all of them continued to move forward and subdued them eventually. But, I mean, they knew they were outgunned. They were outpowered. And I just want to know why we're at a place where people are putting, I don't get it. It's bothering me. And I'm vengeful by nature. So
if it's really bothering you big time.
It is.
I understand.
I would hope it would be a minority of law enforcement officials that would do what happened down there in Texas. I would hope that they would recognize, hey, my responsibility is to respond to this situation. So I'm not going to hang around out in the hall here. I'm going in.
Well, that's what the Border Patrol did.
Yep.
But that's not the first time police officers didn't do nothing either.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is it because they're afraid to go in, or because they're being told not to?
Oh, I think they were just, cowardice.
Yeah, I don't think they were told not to.
They just didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
well, there's a, yeah.
They might have hoped that they could justify themselves. Well, I didn't get an order. Well,
when do you draw the line between orders and doing what God wants you to do?
Yeah, right.
Because there's been plenty of orders that I didn't follow because the Lord said no.
Yeah.
And you have to put, I put my whole career in jeopardy at one point over it in the military. So,
yeah.
But it, and in the end, it was the right call.
Yeah.
And I want to know why. I mean, we need, I don't know what to do. It's really, I'm feeling alone in this world. I know I'm not, because I have all these guys.
Yeah.
There has been a shift in the public, whereas if a cop has breached a building with guns blazing, everybody would say he was doing the best he could. You can no longer do that. And I think there are too many people who are in that position that are saying, until I'm absolutely certain that in the post-mortem reflection of this event, they're not going to be criticizing me or my family, I'm not going to do that.
That might be going on, some. You wouldn't. That's not a real good application of that concern here when there's an active shooter, but I suppose.
But if I would say, if you were to pick a state in the Union where shooting people and toting guns is accepted universally, it'd be Texas. I mean, you're allowed to carry loaded weapons in your vehicle. It's not a problem. You can't do that hardly anywhere in the country. Yet a police officer or two, either they just were fearful for their own life and put it above their duty, which could happen, or they were concerned about running into a situation and making it worse and being...
Well, was it a small town? It was a small town, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm sure, well, just like, I don't know, when they had that, what was it, that kidnapping over here in...
little tiny town?
No, reviving.
In Barry?
Yeah.
You know that girl?
I mean, people in small towns, probably the police as well as the people who live there, don't expect this. They don't expect things, so... I'm sure police officers are not necessarily thinking, if I really wanted this kind of job, I'd be in New York or Chicago. You know, not that I'm saying it's a good reason. You take an oath, whether it doesn't say this oath pertains to this state, this oath pertains to that state, it doesn't. And again, we've become a society of suing people. You know, I mean, if your kid walks past my house and falls down and breaks his leg, you're going to sue me. Whereas I didn't force your kid to walk in front of my house and break his leg. But that's our society is becoming so changed and so...
Well, the problem is
that
is being accepted. And
yeah.
Like really, throughout time, everything was controlled by really powerful people. Okay? But now... The way society is, everyone's got to be so accepting of things that all these powerful people, and like anybody that has any sort of cojones at all, you have to sacrifice literally everything, logic, just truth, all of this, you have to sacrifice that and just put that to the side because guess what? You can't hurt someone's feelings now. You can't hurt someone's feelings now, and that has greater consequences and anything, anything at all. What type of people are you going to breed? What type of people is that going to breed?
In our society, I think they are so ready to blame the police first instead of looking into what really has happened.
That's right. No, it's a profession under fire.
I heard a gentleman make a comment. He said the problem that we have today is we're just unable to determine who's a crazy human until there's real carnage. I mean, so, you know, you're not authorizing the people in charge to go and take people out. You know, you're crazy before you've done anything crazy. We wouldn't tolerate that. Breach of our freedom. And then after you shoot a few people, well, okay, you're crazy. Now we can come after you.
Well, growing up in a small town, I mean, just looking for counseling for myself in high school, you had to drive 45 minutes away. Chippewa, we can find counseling everywhere. I mean, Eau Claire's 10, 15 minutes away. And it seems like if you did have a little bit of mental illness in your family, it was just kind of hush-hush.
Yeah.
In a small town, you don't really talk about it. You're just kind of hidden away.
You know, a lot of the stuff with our school shooters and stuff, those kids will have problems and be showing signs in those small schools of like, oh, we're just going to write this off and not talk about it and brush it under the rug. And then, boom, something happens. And they're like, oh, wasn't there signs of it? Yep, there's plenty of signs of it, but nobody wanted to do anything.
And I know older generations, my mom's brought this up many times too, that it's stuff was just pushed under the rug. Mental illness was dealt with in the family, but now we have all these resources. They're not all right, and they're not always correct. But they are been helpful, and that's why I know some people are trying to speak up about it before it is too late.
I think everything's is gone from the. I mean, you know, as you're walking down that path, and then you know, there's a ditch and a ditch. I think what happened was that we were in the ditch way back when. For some reason, we averaged out, and now we're in the ditch the other way because every other commercial is, if you have, you know, if you're taking a prescription now, but it's not quite enough, ask your doctor about taking another prescription. And I'm going, okay, where's the balance? The balance all is that you're just trying to, it's like we're trying to medicate the world,
right?
And either we're all going to be drooling in a corner, or you're always giving that excuse. You know, it's just like, well, it's that. You know, they never talked about any mental illness when I was growing up, and nothing ever was said about anything. There's nobody had you. You might have had a crazy Uncle Joe living in, you know, Spokane, but nobody talked about him. You know, I mean, it was those things. So I really like, Josh, what you said, because I don't remember the 97 where the...
No, Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I don't, you know. But as you were describing that, I thought, that should be us as Christians.
Yes, definitely.
That's what I kept... That's what my mental image came to my mind going, as we walk, as the bullets are flying, and it doesn't... And it's not meant as bullets, but as whatever obstacles in front of us, we have to be able to stand and walk in our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to be, you know? That's what I want to be when I grow up.
It's like the bullets are Satan, and you're just going forward.
Yeah. So we kind of we came around to, it's so messed up that there's only one who can fix it. And are we going to sit back and wait? We're going to be actively seeking Him. God can fix us. We can yammer about our all day long, twice on Sunday and in service. And the answer is God. And it is His way to let us go so far in the weeds or the muck or whatever you want to say, where we all go, you know what? We can't fix this. And once we say, we can't fix this, and you can, then things start to happen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I believe that's true. Mm-hmm. I believe that's true.
And if we have a fear, we need to say, Lord, I need to deal with this fear.
You know, the Bible says, fear the rod spoils a child. I know when I was a kid, that rod was never spared. You know, and, you know, it's like, hey, it used to be the yardstick. The yardstick was a razor scrap. Well, and then all of a sudden society took the rights of parents to discipline their kids away. And this has been going downhill ever since then. Well, Barb and I went through all that with our oldest daughter, and what society gave her more rights than we had. And that's why we're reaping what was sold back then.
Well, that is a pendulum swing, I think the Susan was talking about. In the past, you didn't have any recourse, and because of that, we made sure that there's tons of recourse to the point where you're not in charge. And God's gonna bring this. There is a balance between where we've been in the 60s and where we are in the 20s.
And it's like the people who say, well, Lord, where were you at this time when this was happening? Well, they took them out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
They took prayer out. I mean, how do you expect them to be there if you take them out?
Do they say the Pledge of Allegiance and the flag anymore?
I don't know.
Do you guys say the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, yes.
You do? Oh, yeah. I didn't even know if they did that anymore.
We do it.
Yes. Yeah, we do it.
Yes, you do. I think you do it.
Every morning when we usually have, when we hear what's for, like, lunch, after that we do, like, the, they, like, record and they do the Pledge of Allegiance on, like, a screen and follow along with.
Oh, well, that's
you
cool.
Find out what you're eating before they do the Pledge of Allegiance,
yeah.
Huh?
Priorities
might be wrong, but at least it's
good.
Hey, man, priorities might be right, depending on what it is.
They actually have a news thing for our school.
Yeah.
I think it's a news thing.
Carter said
it's
more like
a news today.
Yeah.
And they usually say birthdays.
School news, food, Pledge of Allegiance.
I don't know why she
does
that.
And in the Christian school, we have a Christian study.
Well, I'll just go back to it's messed up, and man's going to mess it up. And, you know, if you're looking at cowardly in scriptures, it says we have to have faith. And we have to have faith about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have faith about this. And, you know, we say in many ways, if you count on man, man's going to disappoint you. So whether you want to point to someone who maybe didn't do their duty as you think it is, he's. We're all fallible.
The problem is the extreme hatred I feel towards people like that. It's of Satan. It is not of. And then.
But not forgiveness.
No, it is not. And Barb brought up the warrior spirit. That comes out in me, too. I literally just want to destroy that person.
Well,
because I, in my flesh, think they are of no use to society. And. Yep, every time he says, your sword in sheath.
That's where your spirit comes in going, okay, I'm just praying now, I'm praying now, I'm praying now, I'm praying now, I'm praying now, and it doesn't, you don't even have to be saying anything.
Yep.
You're just like, pray now, thank you, Lord, help me. I mean,
I would suggest to you, when this happens, do a Bible search on judgment.
Yeah.
And when, if you find a scripture too, it says it, you're in charge of that judgment, let me know.
I know. Exactly. I already know that. That's
well,
the battle.
You call
that.
Right now.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one thing. I mean, we put too many things on the back burner in the sense thinking, I can handle this, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing I need the help of other prayer warriors, you know. And we need to be asking because... well, we have a man here who loves, he thinks prayer is fun.
You know what? The number one best thing that you can do for yourself above everything else, because I know, because what you said is word for word, I would say the exact same thing. You got to put every thought into the subjection of Christ, because fear is a demon and anger is a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And how rage comes at you, that's a demon. That's the devil literally trying to steal your peace through anger. Okay? And you're angry at people who live in fear. They manifest a demon of fear. It's just the same thing except a different demon. So instead of them being angry, they're filled with fear. And that makes them cowardice. and now you're angry at them because of cowardice, because they don't have that ability to decipher those things, because they just think maybe they're scared. Well, guess what? That's a demon. And that one's a sneaky one. He's not as aggressive as anger. It's easy to spot anger. It's harder to point out fear as a demon and rebuke it. Most people that are fearful never rebuke that demon. They just live with it, and they embrace it. But really, it's a demon. Says so in the Bible.
Josh, you were asking about Scripture, and it came to mind. I don't know if it's on point totally, but it came to mind that, and I don't know, how's it go, Keith? What does a man gain if he should have the whole world but lose his soul?
Yeah.
You know, some, that's
close, yeah.
It close enough, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is what's, you know, imagine that. You gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? No, that is a bad bargain.
Unfortunately, too many people are living here.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, there's so many people and so different reasons for people going, you know, when you're dead, you're dead. This is, you know, there's nothing more. And I'm going, well, how does that happen then? What happens to those people? Then my mind goes this way, and I'm going, okay, wait. you have to kind of snap back and take. You have, and that's why it's important to explain to your children, your parents, your grandparents, your friends, your neighbors, that there is more to this. We were only put on this earth because God wanted some company. And then we blew it. And he still said, okay, I'm still going to, you know, they're there. Let's work with what we got.
Mm-hmm.
And he's putting up with us, but he's still expecting us to wind up with him in glory.
So
because that's the ultimate part of, you know, I never pictured that you weren't going to wind up with me in the end. But you have to work at it just a little bit. Everybody, you know, I mean, everybody's worthy. It's just
be worthy.
Those people who, I mean, like you said, fear. I mean, it's a good explanation of the people who are fearful of the fear that fears the fears. You know? It's like, call somebody, have somebody pray for you over the phone. Have somebody come lay hands on you, whatever, but let's not, yeah, run across that neighborhood or your to the neighbors.
Yeah. That scripture that Charlie referenced is actually, it's in all, it's in three of the Gospels. It's Luke 9:25. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and lose or forfeit their very self? Matthew 16:26. Will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet lose their soul? And then Mark 8:36. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet lose their soul? So, I mean, to me, anytime I see a thought that it's like in three or four of the Gospels, to really latch onto that. God was really trying to make a point there.
Mm-hmm. And it, as far as I'm concerned, it does speak to the issue of courage.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It speaks to the issue of courage.
Well, it takes courage for both things. It takes courage to not get mad. It, I mean, it does. It's like you have to grab onto all your strength and going, even though I really want to do this, this, and this, I'm going to grab onto my courage that I have in my Lord and pray right now that he's going to help me not to do the things that my flesh wants to do. I mean, it's not easy.
No, but that's exactly putting your thoughts into subjection to Christ, because you recognize that and you resist and rebuke.
Yeah.
That is the whole 2 + 2 = 4 here to protecting ourselves. You know?
By resisting the devil, he will flee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't resist him if you're not putting those thoughts into subjection. if I just get angry, and I think that those are my thoughts, and I do them, you know, you're not resisting, you're not putting the thoughts into subjection. God will not protect you. That
you're just making you feel better.
Yeah.
And not doing what God wants.
Well, it's not even making you feel better because you're just manifesting a demon into you. You're just made feel that rage high because you're letting all that out. You're going to feel used and dirty and hurt afterwards because you know you just lost. Every time you lose your temper, you lost. You were in a wrestling match against the devil and you lost. If you lost your temper, you lost the fight.
I think adrenaline is an addictive drug.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, you like that high or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And if you suffer from addiction, it's even worse.
And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I don't see this as getting easier. I mean, the world is not, I don't see things as sunshine and roses, things getting way, way better, then all of a sudden people are going to go, you know, I was going to go kill a bunch of people today, but I changed my mind.
Well, I am expecting a move of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
After that, though.
That's what we're going to have to look for, and that's what we're going to have to pray for. I mean, there are people who, people just saw people who, you know, you have that look, they have that look about them, and you're going, you know, I don't trust them or something. We need to be praying for those people rather than letting that person go ahead and do the things that you thought they were going to do. I mean, I'm not saying we're the stepping point, but we're a starting point. And praying for our friends and seeing a situation and saying, I'm just going to stand up and I'm going to pray for you. You know, you don't have to pray out loud unless the Lord says go over and pray for that person. But prayer, whether it's at the top of your lungs or at the whisper of your inner voice, it's still prayer.
And when God says go, we need to go.
Heaven, that's right. Yeah, can't hang back. Mm-hmm. Can't hang back.
Anybody else says if they say no, that's too dangerous.
Don't,
go.
Don't be a Jonah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's where our faith comes in. We need to have faith strong enough to do that.
And that's the key word, that strong faith.
Yeah.
How strong is your faith?
I think I've spent some time in the belly of the whale.
But, you know, there are times when your faith is strong and there are times when your faith is weak.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not on an even plane.
No.
It's getting to the point where I'm beginning to recognize when God says go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not perfect in it. But.
No, we never will be, so don't even try to go for perfection.
No.
Because none of you are being lied to.
Yeah. It is true, though, boy, when we are faced with that choice, the choice that Peter had, you know, when we say, oh, Lord, we'll never deny you, you know, we should do better than what Peter did.
Yeah,
he was not a good example in that instance.
When his heart was, when he said that, though, I believe his heart was true in it, the statement.
Yeah.
But his, you know, Jesus knew better. You know,
his flesh would be weak.
You know, I mean.
But that seeing that made him stronger. Seeing that he didn't make the right choice, I think, made him realize that he needed to become strong and make those choices.
You know, that sermon that he preached there in Acts 2 or wherever it is not the sermon of a cowardly man.
No.
You know, that is not the sermon preached by a cowardly man.
Because he had just been filled with the Holy Spirit. You talk about Peter. Yeah. And so the Bible tells us that when the Spirit comes upon you, you shall be witnesses, you know, and there's power associated with it. And I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, all of the things that are going on. And we have an amendment in our Constitution that is probably one of the best ones ever and one of the more dangerous ones ever. And that's the second one. And giving us the right to bear arms. And I don't have any guns now, but I probably have 30 of them over my lifetime, you know. And anyway, and there's a real push to destroy the rights of Americans to have guns. And they quoted a famous Japanese general, and they said, "Why didn't you attack America?" He said, "Because there's a gun placed underneath every blade of grass."
Civilian population was what they said. The army is not the biggest deal. They said it's the civilian population.
Yeah. And the problem, the thing about it, right now there's a real push to remove the gun rights, but there's almost as many Democrats that have them as there are Republicans. Mm-hmm. Or maybe vice versa, I don't know. And so it's a battle. And it's not the gun that shoots people. It's a person behind them that shoots them, you know. And they can get a gun any place, you know, easy to do, or steal one. And or they can do it with a car. So, but right now, there's a real push to remove guns. And it's like, that's not really the problem. The problem is to somehow remove the fanatics, you know. It's a miracle that my dad didn't shoot somebody. And I hate to put it like that, but he lost his something when he was about 60 years old, probably. And or maybe a little younger. And he drove with a loaded gun around in his car, and he was looking for, so there was always somebody following him.
Right.
You know, there's something wrong with him. And he ended up okay, but I mean, it was a scary thing. He could have shot somebody.
He lost his eyesight?
He's right.
What did he lose?
No, he lost his mental something.
Oh, okay.
He lost his mind.
Yeah. And he ended up okay, but it was scary. He had to end up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Never any, the rest of our family ever had any problems like it, but he had them.
Well, I mean, there is the necessity. I mean, I've never shot a gun. Just because, I mean, I didn't grow up that way. I mean, I lived with my mother, who wasn't a hunter. Shocker. But during one of her marriages, I met the poorest family I've ever met in my life. I mean, seriously, they didn't even have their house wasn't finished. It just had the insulation in on the walls. I mean, they were dirt poor and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out and hunted, and I had bear and squirrel and rabbit and all these, you know, because they'd always invite me to come over and eat. And he shot all the time because he had to. And that is just part of, that was just life. And I mean, and that's how all the settlers and everybody, you know, I mean, that was just how it came. I mean, I'm sure you guys needed to hunt for food on the table, you know. So
yeah, we did.
Yeah, so there's a difference. I mean, when the big game hunters go to Africa and shoot something for a trophy, you know, you're you're not doing it for a necessity. So, I mean, we have to have some kind of balance, and, you know, we don't have to go back to shooting our own game. First, we'll be vegetarians. I mean, I'm not Little House on the Prairie lady. but God will provide, and I think that's one thing we have to remember. Might be a good thing to get your kids started on doing gardens. You know, I mean, one for the outdoor, two for the back, we're going to need food.
What I plant in my garden is always for me, the critters, and the friends.
There you go.
Yeah, they get their share, don't they, the critters?
Well, Christianity does embed itself in our founding as a nation. That's one thing I pray for the nation a lot, because our rights come from God, not government. And that was actually what our founding fathers said. So, and I've noticed one thing you were talking about, the reason those people can be dirt floor poor and happy is when I worked in the sawmills, the Amish were kind of like that. The kids were just running around having a blast. I mean, some of the stuff the kids were doing, we'd have CPS called on us, and Aura, the guy's like, he's going to learn how to not do that on the horse then.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're just, one of them fell off the horse, and Aura looked at him, he's like, hang on better.
Yeah.
It was, they were, but one thing that I looked around is I just saw that we don't, one thing that our worldly environment robs us of is joy and contentment.
I think that's right.
Yeah, and there's a lot more.
Yeah, it's also wrapped up in love, too, he said. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they saw me lose my crap one time. I mean, I have outbursts, and Aura came over, put his hand on me, just like, made me feel calm down. And it's,
But that was a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that, and I'm sure you weren't the only person he's ever seen that happen to.
Because
even Amish probably have their moments.
Oh, they do. But how they handle it, too. It was actually with compassion. I was like, wow.
Whereas, maybe when we see people losing it, you know, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to offend them. We have a list of I don'ts that are so long that by that time it's too late, you know. And whereas they should be, you know, where angels fear to tread, we should be running in with the armor of God.
I didn't want to make all sure God was in it before I went up to that person.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking putting armor on. Not just running in. Because, no, what could have that? Yeah. I don't think that ever solved anything.
Look.
Most people have the me mentality, though. So.
It's
normalized narcissism.
It is. And they're normalizing mental health problems too, you know. Even 10 years ago, people with multiple personality disorders or things like that, they would get diagnosed. Now they're like social media stars, and you have to embrace them for who they are. Yeah. Even though they have an actual medical disease, we can't say that now, though. We have to, like...
See, when I get detached from reality, which does happen, I'm happy I have a wife that kind of brings me back in. She doesn't partake in it and be like, yeah, you're right. You know?
Exactly. Well, that makes sense, so that's the right thing to do. But that's, there's possibly a chance that you might get your feelings hurt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It does.
See, a chance.
And she's willing to sacrifice that, though. But people
for
in society are not willing to sacrifice that. Can't hurt nobody's feelings. So now we got to make people with mental health problems celebrities, and all of our kids are all doing their dances on TikTok and copying them, but really, they're an actual mentally ill person dressing up, doing crazy things, and it's publicized and
normalized.
Normalized, you know?
And embraced.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's a person who needs help and actually needs
yes.
some compassion, too.
Yep. But because we can't say anything about anything, yep. now all of our kids, who are actually normal, think that they need to try to be like this person who's actually sick.
Yeah.
And now we're like, why is the world like this? Why is the world like this?
We need to teach our kids not to partake in those things.
Well, when you do speak truth, you will get shot down hard. You will meet heavy, heavy aggressive resistance.
That's fine.
And I've already been warned about that in the Bible.
Diamonds. Diamonds, how are diamonds created?
Yeah.
How are diamonds formed? Under a small amount of pressure?
I just want to know what I can do better as a Christian to be more, move forward and more courageous.
Resist the devil.
Listen to the word.
Ask people, truly and honestly, ask people for prayer. I mean, I don't have the. I think it for you it's some anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's. And you get disorientated sometimes?
Yeah, completely
okay.
lose touch with
okay.
reality.
So, you don't know me. But way back when, you know. It was basically a mental illness, you know, was what I had. I mean, and then nobody knew how to treat it. And I had a forceful husband that loved me too, that would snap me back to reality because I was not okay, you know. And I went through lots of deliverances, and I asked people for prayer, and I still continue to ask people because it's not like the one and done. Okay, I prayed for you once, and now you're fine. So go. It's something I constantly have to work at, you know, and it's okay. I could never ask for prayer. I could never, you know, I could just sit there and make my life and my husband's life miserable and be fine-ish. But I don't want that. God's got bigger plans, and He's got. I truly believe God's got bigger plans for all of us. And that's why it may be stepping out on that. Your uncomfortable limb of, well, would you pray for me? You know, because it was really hard for me in the beginning. Now I know it's
necessary.
Necessary, and it's like, God, why aren't you helping me? But God's helping me if I ask. So I'm just saying, the difference is I've come a long way, a long, long way. But don't hesitate. I mean, that's ask for prayer. Ask for I think maybe the word deliverance always sounds weird. It doesn't have to be quoted as deliverance. If someone prays for you, and you feel a relief, more power, more great, thank you, Lord. You know? So it's like don't stop at the doorstep. Go into the house.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yes.
No. One of the greatest truths that I've ever gotten is right up on that on the board, on the last line. The man Christ Jesus. Everything in the Bible calls him the man Christ Jesus. Nowhere does it call him God. And yet, the church had been so befuddled over the years that they have said, you know, God the Son. He's not God the Son. And so what has happened is in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, that it's a this is a tricky thing. It says, casting down imaginations, that's in 10:5, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is a strange thing, but Jesus himself had been changed into the image of God, and he is that God. And he has made sure that we know that. And we've got hundreds of scriptures that back us up. And you know what? That was one of the greatest revelations that I think I've ever had. And I thought, and there's a lot of people that have it, as not in me. I have a whole book from people down by, Indiana? One God and one Lord, Indiana. And somebody gave it to me. And what it is, it is a revelation of all of these different scriptures and things, and it's real obvious.
So that someone else wrote a book on what they think the Bible says? Is that what it is?
No. No, it's a book on the scriptures that prove it.
Okay.
We have a lot of them.
Prove that Jesus was a man.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a revelation. It's a major revelation. Did it do anything for us?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Information.
Yeah.
It has shone light on scriptures that otherwise would be in the dark.
Yeah. Well,